Well, it looks like that's what we're going to talk about. It's the news according to me. I have to push the button. It's the news according to me. It's not working. What's going on here? It's the news according to me.
There we go.
Oh, it's Wednesday. Feels like a Monday all of a sudden. Hey, it's Wednesday, November 12th, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Normally, this would be a live broadcast. Normally. It is not today. That's the rest of the month, it will be a live broadcast at 9 a.m. However, this is not live, in case you haven't noticed. It is 2025 still this year. Seemed like it went by so fast, and now it's going by so slow. We have, let's just say summer went by really fast. I think now that we're getting into the fall, time slows down a little bit. Of course, we had to fall back. I had that hour shift thing going on there. It makes a difference in the way you sleep at night, because you seem to get tired about 9 o'clock. It's like I should be going to bed at 9 because it feels like 10 and it gets dark at 5. So 7 o'clock feels like midnight. I don't know what that's all about. It takes a little while to adjust to that. In my cup, I have chai with Almond Joy Creamer, and also my backup cup. Some of you might guess, but many of you won't guess what's in my cup. It's surprisingly today I'm drinking water. And I'm going to make an effort to drink more water today, and more water in general. I probably don't drink enough water. I get enough fluid intake. I do drink a lot of sweet tea. I'm starting to notice that I do drink a lot of, and I think part of the issue is I drink it throughout the day. So I won't drink like a huge sweet tea all at once. I drink a little bit at a time. I might be able to get a large sweet tea if it doesn't have a whole lot of ice in it. I can make a whole large sweet tea last all day long, but that's the problem. You're constantly sipping on sugar. Not good for you. Your body can deal with peaks in sugar. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm certainly not a nutritionist. But I watch a lot of YouTube, and so therefore, I'm a YouTube expert, I guess. I would call it that. There's people poo-poo. Oh, you just watch some guy on YouTube talk about blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of very good information on YouTube, by the way. And I don't know, it's not all just stupid stuff. I just heard something. I don't know what it was. Like they come across my computer? I don't know what that was. Almost sound like a notification of some kind, but I don't see any notifications up here. Anyway, a lot going on today. A lot of things to get done. But we're going to have a regular show. Now, Monday's show, I still haven't posted Monday's show. So I actually have to physically pull out my laptop to get the show posted on my cloud server so that I can post it. I have, and it was just a quick show, but it wasn't like you're going to miss anything. It was just a 15, 20 minute show. But it kind of set the plate for some of the other things going on. This week is a little bit goofy. I have a lot of things. I have to have a doctor appointment, some other things to do today, but I've also got to do some, got to get over to the office. Be working on some things around the house here this morning and this afternoon, this evening, into the night. Some things I'm going to try to finish up, get done down here in the basement. One of them is I want to finish up this whole. I've got to winterize some things still. I got to get some things finished up with the old studio down here in my house. I want to try to get that fixed up so that I can actually use it. Been meaning to do that for a long time. We'll see how this week goes. I don't know. We'll see. Always something always gets in the way. The Some things in the news. Let's talk about the news and the politics. We have, of course, by the way, let me know what you think about what I think. You can always call the show or text the show. It's a hotline you can leave messages on. 812-379-8778. Or you can go to google.com/voice and put that number in there. You can also leave a message through that way. If you live outside the country, you have no international calling plan, feel free to do that. I have a few videos that I'm going to play. Of course, you're going to hear the audio because this is not a video show yet. And I have a couple things to play here. I'm going to go over some stuff that Brandon Johnson is saying. Not many people are talking about this because there's so many other things going on right now with the government shutdown. And that's one of the things, you know, when they get the political, the news cycle takes over and you have, they decide what the news cycle is going to be. They, of course, whatever is going to, you know, it's kind of the old, if it bleeds, it leads kind of thing. Whatever's going to be the most popular thing for people to capture their audience so they can get their ratings up. That's what they're going to go for. And right now the shutdown is kind of the thing that's in everybody's face. So that's what they're pushing the most on most channels. Most news media is pushing that kind of out there in the front. Not talking about some of the other side stories that normally would be kind of big deals. But because they kind of take second place to what's going on. So you may not hear about it, but I'm here. I am here to let you know what else is, all the trivial stuff that's going on. There's a few things I want to talk about with the shutdown. I want to talk about some of the things that Schumer said last week. Some of the proposals that were put forward, some of the things that they were trying to argue about. There was, every day it was something different. A different talking point, different thing. The underlying thing was always the healthcare subsidies. We can talk about that more. Of course, the left, they're all mad because they think the Democrats have caved and they're not going to get any kind of a discussion or any kind of negotiation with the Republicans on the ACA bill because the subsidies. However, there are a lot of really good things coming out of that. Right now, the Republicans are actually coming up with their own version of healthcare. And what it amounts to, I thought this for a long time. Now, there's this thing called a healthcare or a health savings account. And you can set this up through your employer. Many employers offer this now. You can actually set up when you go to choose your 401k or whatever you're doing or your health, whatever health plan you want to be on. You get to choose in your benefits package. You can put in an HSA. And many people do this. HSAs, I don't understand them that well. I'm not a financial counselor. But it would seem to me that they would play a good role for certain individuals in certain circumstances in their lives. Whether or not do you have a young family? Do you plan to have a family? Are you having, you know, do you have kids? Are you older? Are you going to stay at the company for a long time? All these things are factors that play into the HSA. But I think that an HSA that you pull up on your own, an individual HSA, like an IHSA or HSAI, like a 401k, individual Roth IRA, whatever. I don't know. I've got some friends out there that I know are financial guys. They understand this stuff better than I do. But it would seem to me that a government-backed or a government-established HSA account seems like it would make more sense to me than any kind of a government single-payer. This enables, and then have a network or a system regulated by the government. Government that would allow you to go to any doctor that would, you know, you could go to any doctor, of course, this is what we were promised under Obamacare. You like your doctor? You can keep your doctor. No, that was not the case. You like your healthcare plan? You can keep your healthcare plan. No, that was not the case. In fact, in some cases, you could keep your healthcare plan. The problem was it was considered a Cadillac plan and you had to pay tax on it. You had to pay more money for it. You can keep it, but you can't afford it. Because we're going to charge you more for it. Price of it's going to go up. You can keep it, but you're not going to be able to afford it. Kind of like Cobra when you leave your employer. Oh, you can pick up Cobra. Yeah, well, then now you're paying a ridiculous amount of money for it. Just different stuff like that. It's just what's happening here. So we have, by the way, did I ever mention what was in my, I did. Okay. Talked about the cow. Never mind. Get back to Money Trail. So the Affordable Care Act it's a mess, and it was designed that way by the architects. I could get into that more. There's plenty of audio out there if you go looking for it about the way they knew that by year 10, by 10 to 15 years, healthcare now healthcare costs, the costs for health insurance were going up. I think it was an average of 10 to 12% a year until the ACA. Now we're looking at them going up. No, it wasn't even that much. Now we're looking at them going up even more. In fact, within a 10-year period, they have more than doubled healthcare costs. It's never happened before. Now we're looking at it in 1 year that your healthcare insurance is going to double already in 12 months. By the end of 2026, your healthcare costs will double. We don't notice it because of these supposed subsidies. What they're basically doing is they're paying off the extortion of the insurance companies. Government's paying for them to keep the prices down. Well, they're not really keeping the prices down. They didn't reduce the prices. They're just keeping them from raising the prices. But there's no oversight. And this creates no free market. This creates no open market for anybody to challenge that at all by going just to another carrier, just on your own exchange. They can raise the rates with impunity. It doesn't matter. Now, with this whole HSA thing, would allow people they would go directly to the people. You could put money into that. You're investing money into that. In fact, this whole thing where Donald Trump, I disagree with him on some things. Sometimes as I disagree with him, and then later on, I'm like, well, I guess it does make more sense. But not on everything. And this is one of those things, much like this deal. Okay, he has this thing where he wants to do this tariff. What's he calling it? A tariff incentive or a tariff relief type thing. Or he wants to pay individuals, give them a $2,000 check, basically a tariff stimulus or whatever you want to call it. It's kind of a... Now, what I think they should do with that money is give people a tax credit or a tax deduction based on the percentage of tax that they pay. So in other words, if you pay in federal tax, if you pay, say you pay over the course of the year, at the end of the year, whatever you pay, say, I don't know what it's going to be. Say you pay $20,000 in federal tax. And you had all that taken out of your check throughout the year. Then that $2,000, and based on that percentage of how much you pay relative to everybody else, in other words, it's a fair deal, then you would get back a certain amount of a reduction on that. So you get a rebate or a refund, tax refund, based on that exemption or that reduction. If you didn't pay any federal tax for the year, you don't get anything. It's just the way it works. You didn't pay anything, you don't get anything. That's the way it should work. If you paid $6,000 in the year, then you should get a percentage of what that amounts to. It should be an evenly cut pie, is what I'm saying. I don't know if it makes any sense or not, but it's if a person pays $100,000 in federal income tax, they should get more. It should be a percentage of what you paid in, based on the percentage of what has been taken in with the tariffs. I just think that makes more sense. I'm not sure exactly how it sounds to me like they're just planning on handing everybody out a stimulus check of $2,000 or whatever it's going to be, which is mind-boggling when you think about how much money that is in terms of paying everybody that kind of, every taxpayer. What is it? I think there's it's 150 million people that are filed, they file every year. I don't know. Let's find out. giving each of them a $2,000 check. That's a huge difference. Let's find out here real quick. How many people file federal income tax? Well, that's not one word. All right, let's see if there's a number here. It just pops up automatically. AI should figure this out. The Google searches usually have something on the AI. 163 million now. So I think it's 150. It's 163 million federal income tax returns were filed in the U.S. for the tax return. That was 2023. So it's probably going to be about that same number. How many tax returns are filed each year? 2025. It doesn't have it on there. 120 million filings in 1997. So it's going up considerably. But it fluctuates. It's right around that amount. So about half the nation files federal income tax forms. Now, not everybody pays federal income tax. There are some people who are exempt from federal income tax. You might not make enough to pay federal. So there's 32,000, whatever the exemption is. When you get to a certain point, then you start paying federal income tax. You might get it taken out of your check, but you'll get it all back. And then, of course, the more you make, the more you pay. So it gets a progressive tax. So that then when you get up to about $400,000, if you're filing, especially if you're filing jointly, you'll pay the max amount, or just close to the max amount. Again, I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a tax advisor. My experience of life. You make a certain amount of money, it continues to go. The percentage goes up. Not just the amount. Everybody says, "Oh, that makes sense. You're making more money. You should pay more tax." No, the percentage that you pay goes up. A person who makes $100,000 a year, say they pay $20,000 in federal in taxes. A person who makes $200,000 a year doesn't pay 40. They probably pay 50 or more. That's how ridiculous it gets. Now, you could consider all taxes, state, federal, local, everything else, county, everything else that you have to pay, Social Security and everything else. You might get a check for $100,000 and you might end up with about $65,000 out of all that. You're going to pay $35,000 in taxes. Not all of it's federal, but some of it is. The federal tax rate is, what is it, rather, for that, about 17 or 18%, something like that, 19%, whatever it's going to be. So, yeah, it's just it's a scam is what it is. They think all of a sudden you owe them that money because taxes, death and taxes. Yeah, it's a scam on the American people. That all income taxes, in my opinion, are immoral. For the most part, there's some things you should be paid income tax for. And it's constitutional, actually. It's actually constitutional to pay income tax on some things. Your normal everyday life, workaday life type thing, it does not. Now, state and federal, or I mean, I'm sorry, state and county, it's a whole other ball game. That's a whole different ball game. You choose to live in a state that has income tax, state income. Some states do not charge state income tax. Amazingly, some states don't have property tax. Some states have a very high sales tax or something else so I think there's ways of getting around this healthcare thing. And there's some very good ideas out there. Now, one of the things that some things that Trump has promoted and pushed out there or proposed. And there's some other senators and congressmen that are coming up with some really good ideas. And how that can work. But I think it comes a bit down to an HSA type of thing where you would get if you're going to get federal subsidies, if you're going to get federal assistance, then it would come into that HSA thing and you could only use it for your health care purposes, for health insurance purposes. This creates competition. It opens up all the gates for lowering prices. Because there's a middleman. The middleman is the insurance company, and it has become a racket, in my opinion. Maybe there are some of you out there in the healthcare world that understand it better than I do. But it certainly looks to me as if there's a whole lot of payback going on to the politicians that allows them to continue to operate the way they do, with all the regulations and legislation that has been on their behalf. Been very frustrating. So anyway, at the end, it's the little guy that gets the wrong end of that whole thing. So here we are. I have a clip here of Chuck Schumer talking about this very thing. It's one of the things he came out with. Now, this was just a few days ago. This was, I think this was like 5 or 6 days ago. This was last week when he came up with this little speech that he had going on here. And it was all about the ACA and the extension, the one-year extension that they wanted on the subsidies. This is what he says here. Let's just listen to what he says.
I'd like to offer a simple proposal that would reopen the government and extend the ACA premium tax credits simultaneously, and then have the opportunity to start negotiating longer-term solutions to health care costs. Democrats are offering a very simple compromise. Democrats are ready to clear the way to quickly pass a government funding bill that includes health care affordability. Leader Thune.
Now, let me explain some things about this. If you listen to this, this is not the original video. This has been edited for time. Now, what that means is all his little moments where he doesn't speak very much, he has these long pauses. This guy doesn't talk this sharp all the time. He's reading this directly from a script, by the way. And when he's reading it, he flips pages. Obviously, the print is about two or three times the size it needs to be. The normal, what is it? Sanskrit, whatever the pica is, what is it, 7 or 8, whatever. It's on standard printing. He's flipping pages like what you and I would read in a normal paragraph. He's flipping the page, which means he's... This print is apparently extremely large. Nobody seems to notice this kind of stuff when they do this kind of thing. But he's got a whole stack of papers here just to make this little, 2 minute speech. But again, I want to get back to this. Now I'll back up just a little bit. And but he's reading it. He's looking down at his paper the entire time, reading this word for word off of this script. He's not just up there talking off the top of his head.
To quickly pass a government funding bill that includes health care affordability, Leader Thune just needs to add a clean one-year extension of the ACA tax credits to the CR so that we can immediately address rising health care costs.
A clean one-year extension. A clean one-year extension. Making it sound like it's just a simple little clean little thing to add that extension to the healthcare costs. Keep the healthcare costs down. That's all he has to do. They can solve the problem today. Republicans can solve the problem today. Democrats can solve the problem today just by voting for it. How the Democrats have been able to push this back on Trump and make it sound like it is Trump's fault? First of all, it is absolutely Congress's fault. The Supreme Court, now they're saying, well, the Supreme Court came through and said that the Trump administration can't use billions of dollars or whatever it is to fund SNAP. The Supreme Court rules on the law. They don't rule on the moral legislative purposes of whatever. They're not a legislative branch. They rule on the law. In other words, the concern that the administration had, that the White House had, was that we're breaking the law by using funds that were not intended for SNAP. We're using them for SNAP to fund SNAP. That's not the executive branches. They can't do that. There was some emergency fund money that can be used for it. That's what they did, but it didn't cover everything. But they were even concerned about that. They were like, well, if we use it for this, I mean, this is an emergency, but now what? How are we going to replenish that? How are we going to get this? We're going to get straightened. It's just creating more of a mess because the executive branch doesn't have the ability to create a spending bill. They can't just come up with the money. Congress has to approve all spending. This is totally on the Congress right now. And there's certain people in the Congress that are causing the problems. And it was Chuck Schumer. As I said in a previous show, he's the linchpin. He's the one this is all about. It's all about his political theater. He's trying to protect his seat, which is he has done a miserable job of doing that in this whole process. He has turned into what he's now everybody considers him the bad guy. Because those on the radical left have made it out. You know, here he is. Chuck Schumer's the one who's the slime. He's always been a slimy politician. Always. He's been there since 1942. I don't know how long he's been there. He's been a long time. And he just continues to muck it up, the whole thing. He just continues to just really mess up everything. And this is just another example of this little thing he tried to put forward here.
Costs. That's not a negotiation. It's an extension of current law. Something we do all the time around here.
Something that we do all the time around here. Now you can tell he's reading that. That's not the way you say that normally. It's something we do all the time around here. It's just the way he does it, his inflection there is wrong. It's just you can tell he's reading it. It's something we do all the time around here. Well, yeah, it is. Just like the CRs, it's something we do all the time around here. That's exactly the same kind of thing, but you don't, because you're trying to get something else you want. Why are these? Always ask yourself, every time you see them pushing for something, or some kind of legislation, it's just going to be an existential threat. There's probably money involved, and there's probably money coming back to their campaigns that's involved in this whole thing. You have to realize this is, at the end of the day, when there's big money being thrown around, the money probably is trickling back. They're dipping their toe in it on the flow out the door, or it's getting flowed back in the door from somebody from some other organization. You can count on that 99.9% of the time. That's what's happening there. They love being close to the stream full of money flowing through the Capitol coffers. And if they're not directly involved in the flow, they step out into the stock market and make their investments there, where they know the legislation that they have influence over that are going to change things in the stock market, and they go back out and they'll buy stocks and do their thing. They're very savvy about that. So here he continues.
We also offer this. Let's create a bipartisan committee that will continue negotiations after the government reopens on reforms, ahead of next year's enrollment period, to provide long-term certainty that health care costs will be more affordable.
This is all stuff that he's just saying off the top of his head. There was nothing in writing that anybody could look at. This is where he got challenged. After he made this little speech, there was a guy who stepped forward and actually challenged him on this whole thing, because he walked away from the podium and wouldn't talk to the guy who was challenging him on this stuff. There was nothing in writing for anybody to look at. That's where the problem was. And it was just this verbal thing that he just threw out there. So it was a Hail Mary is what it was. Trying to make it look like, you know, we're trying to protect people's health insurance. It's not what he was doing.
This proposal reopens the government and ensures working families who are shopping right now for their health care get certainty and financial relief. While open enrollment has begun, insurers can update their rates after we pass a simple extension of the tax credits. With this approach, we do not negotiate health care in the shutdown, as Leader Thune has maintained he wishes, and the American people get the tax credit extension they want. We will agree with the Republican request not to start negotiations until after the government reopens. All Republicans have to do is say yes to extend current law for 1 year. This is a reasonable offer that reopens the government, deals with health care affordability, and begins a process of negotiating reforms to the ACA tax credits for the future.
All right, well, whatever. That was his big thing last week. And, of course, it didn't go through. It flopped basically because of, you know, obvious reasons. And when the guy who got up to challenge him pretty much shot it down right on the spot. What they were proposing was that billions of dollars are going to be put back into the coffers of insurance companies. And that millionaires, people who are now millionaires since the tax incentives, were still going to get breaks in their health insurance, which is, makes no sense. They're not going to help anybody that needs the help. It's just the ridiculousness of the whole thing is, right now what's coming out of this whole thing is that the ACA was actually a scam to begin with. That's what's really coming out of this whole thing. There's no other way to look at it. You have a system that was established to fail. It was made to fail. And their goal was ultimately single payer. They wanted to set up a system where in the future, in 10 to 15 years, and this was the architects actually said this out loud, that in 10 to 15 years, the system would fail and people would be begging for single payer, for government to do something about it and take it over and make it right. Now, the Republicans are in this unique situation right now where they can make it right and turn it back and put it back in the hands of the individuals instead of putting it in the hands of government. The more they take control of, the more they control your life, and especially with healthcare, they control everything. And the Republicans have a few things on the table right now that they really need to get. They really need to have their ducks in a row, and hopefully they've been, you know, putting this stuff down in on paper, or you know, someplace, and maybe not on paper, but you know, some digital, you know, formats. Hopefully they got all their ducks in a row that they can make a proposal that actually works and it's been thought through and they can actually put it into place. Because now is not the time to be thinking about it. Now is not the time to be starting to build the wheel. they need to have the wheel made already, the machine already made, so they can just put it into place and say, this will work, well, let's do this instead of doing what we've done in the past. To transition over to a different kind of system altogether that will put the power back into the hands of the individuals, the families that are... That's what they need to do. And that's just, whether they're ready for that or not, I don't know. They should be because they've had all this time to think about it. So I don't know. I'm sure there are people out there with waiting in the wings with some ideas and some thoughts that, and even some plans that would be ready to just put together right now. But I don't know. I better save that for later. We have a couple other things. Now, again, the other thing that's going on with this whole thing with the border and the CBP and everything else that's happening in Chicago. Now, supposedly, Pritzker has claimed victory now, saying that Trump is going to leave. You know, the CBP, the Border Patrol is leaving. ICE is leaving Chicago, leaving Illinois. You know, we've scared them off. They're leaving now. Now, I don't know if he's saying that to keep his minions from attacking them, because what's happening now is people are doing drive-by shootings, they're doing all kinds of crazy things to the ICE federal law enforcement, and it's pathetic. Of course, they're not coming out and condemning it. They're not coming out saying anything about it. They're kind of cheering these people on. Maybe this is his way of saying, "Oh, ICE is gone now. Just let them go. So nothing to see here." Maybe that's his way of trying to get them called off without and making it look like he won. I don't know. I don't know if that's what he's doing or not, or if he actually thinks that that ICE has left Chicago. They haven't left Chicago. The main guy who was running ICE, who's kind of in charge of the on the ground operations, he's not there right now. They're operating, I think, in 12 states right now, or 21 states, whatever it is. They're busy all over the place. So things are still going on. I'm not sure if that's exactly what the reason is for why Pritzker has come out and tried to declare victory, like they've chased off the bad guys, these masked men, Trump's Gestapo, whatever they would call it then. So they're doing all this stuff, and now at the same time, Brandon Johnson has come out and basically said that they. What are some of the things he said? Let me go. Here's a few of the things he said. He's talking about the. Let's see what got going on here. Let's go with this one. So here he is. He's talking about, this is a little speech he made. He was on video. I think he might have been to the UN. He might have been speaking to the UN. And of course, he's reading this. It's on a, you can tell he's looking at a teleprompter. He's staring at it intently, trying to read this thing. It probably was recorded. I don't think he wasn't speaking live, because he even had some stumbles on this one, but I think I'm pretty sure he had to do this several takes. But here he is.
We are here because the federal government under the Trump administration has failed to meet even the most basic expectations of transparency and accountability before this council. This administration seeks to evade scrutiny for its violations of human rights, just as it has sought to evade accountability for its actions in cities like mine. This refusal to engage in good faith with international mechanisms for accountability and oversight is a moral failure. Here in Chicago, we are taking concrete steps through executive orders, local policy reforms, and community organizing to ensure that our city protects all of our people. I invite the UN's independent experts to visit Chicago to witness both our challenges and our progress firsthand. And I urge the Human Rights Council to consider additional measures of accountability, including a special session to examine the worsening human rights crisis in the United States. The people of Chicago and of this nation deserve a government that honors their dignity, not one that diminishes it.
Now, what he's calling on, he's saying that there are human rights that have been broken and the UN should step in, and he welcomes that we should kowtow to international law based on the UN's interpretation of that law. Now, if you know anything about the UN, you're going to realize that more and more the UN is becoming more and more what's kind of crazy about this is it's becoming more and more of a Islamic run organization. It is not what people think it is. It's United Nations. Well, it sounds like we should be a part of that. It's a very corrupt organization. When a lot of that came out during the whole pandemic and what was going on there and the health, the international health, whatever it is, the UAIG, whatever the AIIG, whatever one of those alphabet things, International Health Organization, whatever the IHO, whatever it was, WHO, World Health Organization, they're all part of this whole thing. And the problem with all this is that we're not subject to international law. We are subject to our Constitution. He wants these representatives to come in and impose international law upon us. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. International law is, of course, this gets closer and closer to thinking of a one-world government-type mentality. And that's not who we are. This is where the socialists go. And one of the things he says there is that because they've cut federal funding. I think it was during this particular speech where he made the comment that one in five Chicagoans are on food stamps, on SNAP program. One in five. Now, I can pretty much guarantee you, because of knowing the statistics on this kind of stuff, the demographics of those individuals of that one in five people that are in Chicago getting food stamps. Now, having said that, why? Why, Brandon Johnson? Why is your economy so bad? It's been under Democrat rule for as long as I can remember. There was one little blurb in there when you had a Republican mayor. And of course, it doesn't work to throw a Republican mayor. The mayor isn't a king. And this is where I think that most people like to think of the president as a king. He's responsible for everything. He's in charge of everything. If things are going well, he's in charge. If things aren't going well, it's all the president's fault. Same thing with the mayor. Like they're like some kind of king over the city. That is not the way it works, and it's not the way it should work. Now, in Chicago, it has worked that way in many ways. The mayor has been kind of a dictator over the city. The way it should work is the mayor should be the the main servant to the town council. The town council should have more authority than the mayor does. He should be making more decisions. The mayor should be the one who carries out the desires or the mandates from the town council. In other words, because there's more representatives there, it's more representative of the people. And the mayor should be in charge of implementing the will of the town council. And of course, down below that, you have the aldermen and everything else that are, of course, now, I think it was Brandon Johnson or somebody was out in the street saying something. I think it was Brandon Johnson. And all of a sudden, this alderman basically started accosting him and cussing him out and yelling at him because of what's going on. But the budget is a mess. They had an independent, the town council had an independent audit come in. I think they spent like $3 million on this crazy thing. And it's paid me three. I can count for $3 million. They found hundreds of millions of dollars being misappropriated and spent wrong. And Brandon Johnson's office came back with an audit of their own that said there was only $80 million. So they're going to go with that. They're going to ignore the professional one that they paid $300 million for, or $3 million for. They're just throwing these funds around. And act like it's nothing. It just blows me away that they do this kind of thing all the time. And of course, he's the one who comes out and says that they're only hiring black people. They're only hiring black contractors. It's just the most racist thing on the planet. But that's fairness. That's equity. Because, you know, white privilege.
That term?
Here's another one. This is a deal where he said something about. I think I already let this play too long.
So look, let's just get the language right.
Let's get this back over here.
Aliens.
So yeah, this is where he says somebody said something about illegal aliens. He said that term's illegal aliens. We don't have any illegal aliens here in Chicago. Let's see how he says this here.
Yeah. I don't know if that's from some sort of sci-fi message that you would have had. Well, listen, the legal term for my people were slaves. You want me to use that term too? So look.
For his people. So this is. Oops, I clicked on the wrong thing.
I don't know if that's from some sort of sci-fi message that you would have had. Well, listen, the legal term for my people were slaves. You want me to use that term too? So.
First of all, Brandon, you were never a slave. So your people. Again, this is a division of. If a white person said, my people, can you see how you put this on the other foot here? And it's all of a sudden you can realize how racist this is. If a white man came up there and said, well, you know, the term used for my people was cracker. Oh, the legal term used for my people were slaves. Well, let's dig into that a little bit, Mr. Brandon. Where does the word slave come from? I'm going to start getting, you know, caught on some medics here. Illegal aliens have nothing to do with a race, by the way. You're just here illegally. It's not a racial term. It's not a racial slur. You can be an illegal alien here from England. And yes, they are deporting people from England. Let's take a look at the word slave here for a minute. It actually comes from the root word Slav. It's where it came from. Because the Barbary Coast, if you remember, there was a time when Islamic raiders were coming up from the south, from the Barbary Coast area of Africa, raiding Europe, killing men, stealing women, kidnapping people, taking them back to the Barbary Coast, and making them slaves. Slavs. Slavic. They were taking the Slavic people slaves. That's where the term slave came from. Now, yes, it's in the Bible. because the term that was the word that was used in translation was that word that was already being used after the Slavic slave trade, Slav trade. Slavery is not just a unique thing to the American people. If children would learn more about slavery in school, the history of slavery, the only slavery they hear about is the slave trade from Africa and how the United States has this original sin on its, even though it was a nation that fought to abolish slavery. 99.9% of the people who fought to end slavery were white people. Now, civil rights and everything else, that's a whole other story. The Ku Klux Klan, racism, all those other things are all part of that whole mix of things that happened. But for him to just bring this up as, well, my people were slaves. Again, this is where we get into this whole racialism. I call it racialism. He's not necessarily racism. It's racialism. He's putting someone down for not making a racial slur, not making this. Again, this is, he is a man child. He is a man in a, I should say, he's a child in a man's body. He's a 12-year-old. That's the way this, that's the maturity level this guy has. For him to make those kinds of statements, and then to call Trump a monster, really rich.
Look, let's just get the language right. We're talking about undocumented individuals that are human beings. The last thing that I'm going to do is accept the type of racist, nasty language to describe human beings.
Illegal alien is not a racist, nasty comment. It is a legal term. It is used in court every day. And it's not racist. It has nothing. What race is an illegal alien there, Brandon? What do you think of when you say the word illegal alien? You just think of a brown person? Why is that, Brandon?
And so as far as our spending on Chicagoans, I've put forth a $16.7 billion balanced budget that ensures that we're investing in education, transportation, housing, youth employment, environmental justice, as well as ensuring that we have safe communities.
How's that working out for you? How's that working for you there, Brandon?
And we are going to challenge the ultra-wealthy to pay their fair share.
We're going to challenge the ultra-wealthy to pay their fair share. Here we go again. With the ultra wealthy paying their fair share. What is their fair share? Half? Are you talking about what they earn? Or are you talking about what they have? So you're just going to tax, put the burden on the rich, these people who provide jobs, the people who, that's why they're leaving. That's why you have one in five people on food stamps.
He's more than happy to look at that budget.
And what are you going to do? You're going to take that money from them then and you're going to give it to somebody? That doesn't create any incentive. It doesn't create anything. You want to be Robin Hood is what you want to be. You want to steal from the rich so you can give to the poor, and that makes you the hero.
Let me just excuse me.
Oh, this is where what's her name here? She's kind of one of the squad
types. Excuse me, let me just say something here. Let me just say something right here. It is very important that people in Illinois and across the country understand the immigration system is a civil system. Undocumented presence in the United States is not a criminal offense.
Bull! It certainly is it is absolutely a criminal offense. They keep saying this. It's a misdemeanor. It's not a criminal offense. It's a misdemeanor. You're not a criminal. It's not a crime. It's a misdemeanor. They've come up with this talking point, and I think who's the guy who was out on the street the other day, guy who used to be on CNN. What is his name? Don, whatever his name is. Don something. Out on the street talking to everybody saying this, it's not a crime. It's just, he was trying to play this whole thing. And this lady happened to push back on him a little bit and say, well, so it's not a crime. But you committed a crime by being here, by being here illegally. No, it's not a crime. It's a misdemeanor. Well, is a misdemeanor a crime? No, it's a different kind of crime. It's not even a crime. It's not a crime. They kept trying to say it's just a misdemeanor. Misdemeanor is a crime. If I spit in your face, guess what that is? That's a misdemeanor. Do you feel like you've been criminally assaulted? Do you think it's a crime? If I drive up in your yard and do a donut in your yard and I drive away, is that a crime? Was there a crime committed there? You know, this idea that you can break the law when there's a law there that's broken, and it's only a misdemeanor. It's not really that means it's not a crime. Huh. Well, that's interesting that you have that perspective. It's not a criminal offense. They're trying to redefine even criminal offenses. They're so locked into this weird, wacky world of themselves. This other reality that they want to live in. I saw this lady the other day. She's on the news. They show this girl and they say that this lady's starving. She can't get her food stamps. And of course, I don't know. She obviously wasn't starving. Let's just put it that way. She was, let's just say she could probably miss a meal or two a day and be okay for a couple years. She was not, she wasn't exactly starving. I don't know any way to put it than that. They should never have shown her picture. That's what they should have never done. So anyway, here was.
And so thank you for the clarification on language right here.
Clarification on language. Yeah, that's good. That's great. So whatever. I've got this other one. I think I got to go back to this other page I was on because I had one of
them. We are here.
Good. All right, here we go. This is.
So look, let's just get the language right. We're talking about undocumented individuals.
No, that's the same thing. Okay, it's the same thing. It's. Yeah. All right. Now, I think that was it. Now, there's one other thing here. I want to talk about this. This is where. Brandon Johnson, he's talking to Al Sharpton on MSNBC, who, by the way, is looking rather frail these days. I don't know how much longer he's going to last, but here he is. He's got his show going on, and he's talking about this whole human rights thing, and he doesn't say it. I wish I could find the actual speech where he actually. He wasn't talking to the UN. He was actually just making a public speech, and he was talking about bringing the UN involved and getting the UN involved.
Well, look,
by the way, UN right now is meeting in Canada, so they're having this big UN G20, whatever it is, the big summit that they're having is in Canada, and that's why he addressed them.
Chicago has longed for universal human rights to be applied locally. And, you know, either our human rights are universal or they're meaningless. What we have seen is a great deal of terror that has been executed across our city. It has had profound impact on our day to day. I mean, we literally had a preschool teacher ripped out of her workplace,
which didn't happen. That didn't actually happen. He's at the same backdrop as he did when he was addressing the UN. So I'm assuming he's just sitting there in that little studio and he's getting this interview with Al Sharpton over this whole thing. That's my guess. So he just happened to be there. See if I can do this.
Individuals with documents and as well as those without documents detained by these Border Patrol and these ICE agents.
Yeah, so that's... That's where he's going. He's going with this whole thing, trying to get this whole thing. It's all about the detention of, you know, these ICE agents that are just coming in. By the way, this one story that he's referring to, ICE was chasing this lady down, trying to get I think it was her or her, somebody, her car, whatever it was going on. Cause I think she attempted to ram a car. Something happened. So they're in a chase trying to get her. And, because she had broken the law and they were in a pursuit situation. And she ended up, I don't know if it was her place of work or if what she was doing, but she pulled up to this daycare, goes running into the daycare. Now think about this. You got your police are chasing you. You're trying to get away from the police and you run into a daycare where there's children. Who's endangering the children at this point? Well, the police are. Police are in danger. They run in there and they grab her. Now, supposedly, the story ended up being, well, she was just in her classroom teaching her children. Just teaching them the ABCs. And CBP showed up, masked men showed up. They busted the door down, came in and dragged her away from her children. It's about the children. By the way, Nancy Pelosi made a statement. Maybe I can find this. This was royal because this is rich. Because I'm hoping I can find this because Nancy's retiring. By the way, okay, for those of you who didn't know it, she's going to be retiring. And when she does, let's see if I can find this. Got to be here somewhere. Maybe it's been long. Oh, here it is. I don't know if that's going to be. I don't know if that's going to have the right thing on there or not. So I can find
Republicans
it.
Will remember her.
This is Scott Jennings. Talking about Nancy Pelosi. Now, one of the things that she says as she's getting ready to retire is how she, you know, it's all about goodness. It's all about goodness. She makes these statements that it's, and then she somebody confronts her about Arnold Schwarzenegger. And one of the things he says, and this is courtesy of Narrative Watch. Let's see if we can get the right spot here. Goodness, goodness. It's about goodness. So we have to destroy democracy. Oops, I didn't. You didn't hear any of that. I am so sorry. Let's play this again. you didn't hear any of that. Let's start again here with where I started with it, and yeah, we'll just go from
no
here.
This is
again courtesy of Narrative Watch, and here this is where she she's being interviewed by somebody from I think it's MSNBC.
What's the closing argument for Prop 50?
Goodness. It is about who we are as a state, and of course as a nation. The fact that the president knew that he was going to lose the House, and he then went to Texas to pick up more seats.
Now, this is what I was going to get back to. What she's saying is we have to change democracy in order to protect, in order to save it. It's kind of like we have to leave the, what did Bush say when he said we have to go outside of the capitalism in order to save capitalism? No, it doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way. But that's what she's trying to say.
It behooved us to then counter that. So people say, oh, well, I don't like either of that. And I said, well, we have to defend democracy. But it's not just democracy.
In other words, two wrongs make a right, and the end justifies the means. That's what she's saying. Now, they started it. They started the whole gerrymandering thing. That's what they've been doing for a long time. Gerrymandering has been done in blue states for a long time, and it's been ridiculous. And that's why once they get a hold of a blue state, it rarely changes. It's very difficult to get it changed. Trump has been able to flip some of those, but here we go.
My view is that you save democracy at the kitchen table.
What are these people saying? I just
by meeting the needs of people. It's about goodness. By goodness,
it's about My goodness.
That when it's time to feed the hungry, according to the Gospel of Matthew.
Oh, we're going to talk about the Gospel of Matthew now. And of course, Governor Newsom recently brought up the Gospel. Yeah, the Old Testament, New Testament, both. And they're talking about feeding the hungry, feeding the poor, feeding them, you know, taking care of the widows. All of a sudden, these people are gospel preachers. Of course, Nancy Pelosi being the good Catholic that she is, even though basically she's been rejected by her church because of her stand on abortion. She's a good Catholic, but she's okay with killing babies.
So. Republicans say, we just really can't do that. In fact, they took over $150 billion out of their ugly bill, which they called beautiful, from SNAP, from the food stamp program. I just think that's totally wrong.
Because there was abuse. When there's fraud and abuse in the SNAP program, you have to gut that. That way there's more money for everybody else. We can't continue to just slather it on. One more $30 trillion in debt. And expect that to just go away at some point. They intentionally want to crash our economy. They want to get rid of our dollar. They hate this country. They hate this nation. They don't want to see it prosper.
In fact, I think it's evil.
So are you suggesting that the president's not a good person?
I'm saying that his policies are not good. I don't know what his, I don't know. Let's not go into that.
Okay.
Let's not go into that. Because no, I don't think he's a good person. No, I think he says, I'm going to judge him right now.
But let's go into a little bit about what this is about, though, Proposition 50, which is about redistricting California. Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's against
now,
Proposition
catch
50,
this.
Who helped.
Catch this. This is the point I want to make here with Nancy, what Nancy says here. Because Arnold Schwarzenegger was a former governor. He was the one who came up with a bipartisan plan to try to make things fair for the gerrymandering process. And let's see what she says about what he
50,
has.
Which is about redistricting California. Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's against Proposition 50, who helped put independent redistricting, has suggested instead of changing the rules, you should outperform Trump, don't out-cheat Trump. That why do you have to change the rules in the middle of this? Democrats should be competitive as is. How do you respond to this concept that this is like cheating?
I always say to people who are no longer in the game, enjoy your retirement.
In other words, you're not a part of our clique now. Get out of it. We don't want to hear from you anymore. You're not in power. We don't want to hear from you. You're just a citizen now. You have no opinion. You might have been the governor. You might have been, you know, you might have been a quasi left of center Republican, but you have nothing to say now. We shut up. We don't want to hear from you because now you're not, we're here now. We're in charge. We're in the fight. We're in the game. You're not. So get out. Shut up. We don't want to hear from you. That's what
I'm saying. We're in the fight and this is how we're going to win.
But what about?
We're in the fight and this is how we're going to win. What does it mean? But what is your definition of win? What are you talking about when you talk about winning?
The merits of what he's talking about, that essentially, that if you're living in a place.
Just deny that it has any merit at all. It has no merit. What about the merits of what he's talking about? Well, obviously, this reporter is saying there's some, he's got a point. Doesn't he have a point at all? It has no point. It has no merit.
It's like Huntington Beach or Norco, these deeply red areas that will now have Democratic Congress members, most likely. How is that good for you in terms of democracy?
The fact is that the president wanted to rig the system because he knew he would lose. People said, well, two wrongs don't.
He wanted to rig the system because he knew he would lose. The president's not the one who's doing what he's doing, what's happening in Texas. The president doesn't have control over what's going on in Texas. So he's saying he wants to rig it because he knew he was going to lose the House. The House isn't his. It's the people's House. People representatives. This is where these people go. They're so blinded by the idea that they are in charge, they have all the power, and that's all that matters. That's winning for them. Just they have all the power.
Michael, right. We don't like redistricting mid-decade. We don't think that that's right. But the fact is, we have self-defense for democracy.
Sirens are blasting in the background. They're coming to get you, Nancy.
What he's doing to reinforce abolishing the House of Representatives, getting rid of the beauty, the exquisite beauty of the Constitution.
I know you've said
the exquisite beauty of the Constitution. Oh, really? Like the Second Amendment? You think that's beautiful as well?
Focuses on Prop 50. I know you've said you won't talk about your future until after Prop 50, but there is speculation about what you're going to do next. Can you talk to us just about what
this is another word salad coming up.
How do you weigh the personal and the political?
Well, first of all, when people start, as in the press, speculating, is she going to run? Is she not going to run? Other people file or say they're going to run. You know what that does? That gives me so much support. People calling me saying, I'm for you, representing organizations, representing communities that...
In other words, the big money that's behind her, organizations, but not just individuals. Big money organizations calling her. I'm behind you. Because they don't want her wrath to come down on them.
Some of these people are leaders in, but calling and saying, if you go, I'm with you. So it's a lovely thing to see the friendship. I have no doubt that if I decided to run, I would win. That isn't even a question. It isn't arrogant. It's confident.
Oh, it isn't arrogant. It's confident when she says it. It's arrogance and illegal when Donald Trump says it. Again, hypocrisy, apparently they have some kind of inoculation from that.
So for me, it's just a question of one thing, winning the House for the Democrats. And that's what we're doing with Proposition 50.
Do you think the
winning the House for the Democrats, because the end justifies the means, the Democrats have to win, and therefore, that's all that matters.
Democrats have a better chance of winning the House next time around if you're on the ballot.
No, I'm saying if I'm out there politically active. Yeah, no, politically active.
So she's going to say politically active, even if she's not on the ballot, because didn't she say something about once you're out of the game, you should shut up? Isn't that what she was just saying? Didn't she just tell us that? She should just be quiet and not have any influence on anything? I thought that's what she just said about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Scott Wiener, who's the state senator for this area, who has talked about running for your seat many times, has deferred to you many times, recently got into the race.
Yeah.
Did he give you a heads up? Was that with your blessing?
He gave me a heads up, but I think he's more concerned about other people getting in. And why don't you talk to him about his thing? No, I thought...
Yeah, she's sidestepping that one. She's not liking that. She's not going to make any comments here. She's been a politician here.
Yeah.
Fight for Proposition 50, and then make your plans about what comes next. Mm-hmm. And that's my message to all of them. So some have participated, some not at all. We haven't even seen them. I have said I won't do anything until after Proposition 50. So tomorrow night will be very fraught with meaning for all of us.
So obviously, one of the big things about Proposition 50 is for control of the House. And we're seeing right now what a Republican House looks like. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the shutdown. You've been in...
So now it's the... Here he goes. We're seeing Republican House looks like we're going to shut the government down.
There, you've negotiated. You've found off-ramps for men who have strong egos. So... What's the off-ramp for this shutdown? What's a deal that allows President Trump to save face, that allows Democrats to get what they want, and gets, most importantly, the government back open?
Well, I would say that that the off-ramp has to be meeting the needs of the American people rather than the face of what's his name. Now,
Trump.
You said something about the Republicans in the House of Representatives. They have abolished the House of Representatives.
It's honestly unbelievable.
All right, I'm just going to go from there. Again, this was courtesy of Narrative Watch, channel Narrative Watch. Does a good job. But it's just, like she was saying, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable, the level of hypocrisy that exists in this particular party. Unbelievable. Yeah. So, folks, I'm sorry. I'm going, like, it's an hour and 10-minute show here. What's going on with that? Again, thank you for listening. Probably tomorrow morning, I believe I'll be able to have a live show tomorrow morning, possibly. Either tomorrow morning or Friday morning, we will have a live show from the hopefully from the headquarters, worldwide headquarters. See how that goes. Again, let me know what you think about what I think. It's 812-379-8778. And leave a message. Let me know what you think. Or ask a question. Or tell me what you would like to have me talk about. In the meantime, it looks like the vote will be today to get the government open back up again. And in the meantime, God bless. Have a good day. See ya. Eventually, it's going to kick in there.